League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW in Midtown. It is the place to go. The drive of a BMW is exceptional. After all, it's the ultimate driving machine. I have a 5 Series, absolutely love it. But here's the key for me. The thing that I love is the customer service at BMW. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered. Sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. And by the way, we're doing a live radio show down there on November 20th. So come early, some cocktails, some getting together, and then 7 to 9 we'll have a live broadcast. We'll have some movers and shakers from the soccer community down there and many, many more, and we'll be mixing and mingling amongst all the BMWs. All right, with that, we bring in a good friend of mine, a wonderful analyst in Major League Soccer, former professional soccer player. He's Ross Smith for the Portland Timbers. He joins us now. Ross, how are you?
I'm doing well, Glenn. As always, excited to be able to come on the show with you. Thanks for having me on again.
My pleasure. All right, so it's always great when Seattle and Portland get together. It doesn't matter where, when, what time. But this just happens to be for a little bit more here in the playoffs. It came pretty early for both these teams in the semifinals. Portland, as we all know, disposing of Dallas and fighting their way through that first-round game. All right, so let's talk a little bit about this first result here, the 2-1 win over Seattle. How do you feel their position going back to CenturyLink?
Yeah, I think it's been a great first leg for the Timbers. Just if you even consider that after the first 10 minutes with Seattle Sounders getting the away goal, you thought it could be trouble for the Timbers. I think they looked as though it was a team who played in a knockout game on the Wednesday against Dallas. They looked leggy, they looked tired. And so I think it's a good situation considering after that 10 minutes where they found themselves in. Their reaction was really good. I thought the first half, they really started to show the upside and the form that they've been in over the last 4 or 5 games. The second half, I thought they tired a little bit. I thought you started to see the heaviness. And I just wondered afterwards, Glenn, if they would think, at 2-1, we should have gone a little bit more for that third goal. They had a great chance in the second half near the end, a ball from Blanco into Valeri. And if they stick that in 3-1, it looks a lot better, obviously, going into CenturyLink. But it's a good situation for them. And I think they'll be spurred on. They'll be helped on by the confidence of how they've played this year against Seattle, but away at CenturyLink. They went up there and they got a result. They got the 3 points, 3-2. They won. Mabiala, 2 goals off set pieces, and Almateros with the 3rd goal. So I think they'll feel that they can go in there this century. I think they can go in and get a result. And I think they've got reference points as well, like I said, Seattle earlier on, but also of recent. FC Dallas, they went in there, got the win. And RSL as well, Rio Tinto away near the end of the season, went in there. Tough place to go and get a result, get 3 points, and they've done that. So they'll be full of confidence.
All right, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here because Seattle felt like they got out of Portland in a very good place. This is a team that's won 14 of 16. Osvaldo Alonso said, hey, we felt we could have got more out of this game, and that despite the fact that they lost Chad Marshall and Christian Roldan to injury. You know, you could maybe say, hey, maybe they're a little bit too optimistic, but they do have an away goal. So
yeah.
I think what makes this even more intriguing is that Seattle equally has a tremendous amount of confidence going back into CenturyLink.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And we were playing the game of post-game when going back and forth, okay, what's either manager thinking, what are they going for? And it was tough to call who's going to be the happier of managers going into that locker room. And with Brian Smetzer, he'll feel that. I'm sure his team can go in and win 1-0, and that'll be enough for them with that away goal now. So you imagine with them in the run form that they've been in, and you mentioned the 14 wins out of the last 16, they're going to feel good about themselves going back home. And with the defense that they have, big question marks of Chad Marshall, wondering whether he's going to play. But Roman Torres stepped in, and he did a nice job beside Kim Keehee. So they'll feel as though they can get a clean sheet. And then they've got a guy, Rui Diaz, who is scoring goals, 11 goals now. He's the quickest Sounder player to reach 10 goals. And so, you know, you've got him, you've got Nicholas Odell. So I could understand why, on their side of it, they'd be happy as well with the away goal, with that result in the end. They could have gotten more as well. I talk about Fuller, he could have scored. Victor Rodriguez could have got a goal. So it's interesting now to play that game. Both managers would enjoy enough the position that they're in, and it's all to play for.
Yeah, and both managers obviously are looking it through their lenses, and both, I think, are feeling pretty positive about where they are going into this final 90 minutes, which sets up, which is an amazing game. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere. Seattle and Portland always is. Osvaldo Alonso said that he felt Seattle controlled the second half tempo, and then he went on to say, hey, we're disappointed that we didn't come away with more. Would you agree with that? Do you think that Seattle did control the second half tempo in the first leg?
Yeah, it did. I did. I thought the Timbers, they set back a little bit too much. I thought they did look a little tired that second half. As I said, they were spurred on when they got that first goal from Obobese in the first half and then Blanco's goal. And that's where I thought they need to go get the third now. They almost didn't need halftime to come. And halftime took a long time to come. They played an extra just about 10 minutes of injury at a time of the first half. So the second half was different. And I never really felt as though Seattle had a cutting edge to them, though. I talk about that Victor Rodriguez chance. But aside from that, you felt like Tuiloma and Ridgewell, that they were dealing with Rui Diaz, that Nicholas Ferreira wasn't picking up the ball in the spots that he'd usually like to be in and be threatening on the half turn looking forward. And crosses coming into the box that the Timbers were looking after the markers. And so I do agree that Seattle, they had the better of the ball. They were playing in the front half. But I think for the Timbers, they feel as though that they did enough. And they were able to close down the gaps and not allow Seattle to really expose the Timbers. But I think it'll be different. I think it'll be different. CenturyLink, at some point, you imagine the game's going to have to get open. It's going to have to get stretched. And I think it can favor both teams, depending on which big players are having a better day. Because Nicholas Ferreira, he finds himself in space. And Rui Diaz, the movement that he's shown that he can have, I think they could cause problems for the Timbers, but equally going the other way. Valeri, we know what Valeri can do when he finds a little bit of space, and Obobese, what he's showing with his ability to find runs. So Seattle, I think, will be spurred on by it, but the Timbers, it's all about their recovery. This will be essentially their third game in a week. And so if there's tired legs, they could be sitting in quite a bit, and Seattle could have the bulk of the possession again. But if the Timbers recover okay, then they can get out on the break with a Chara here and there, joining in the attack, and they compose a threat.
Yeah, you didn't mention Sebastian Blanco, I think, has been a wonderful signing for you. And just, you know, he's got the typical fiery Argentine kind of blood in him that I think every team certainly in the world needs. And that's perfect timing because we've got Boca Juniors and River Plate this weekend, which is going to be an unbelievable Copa Libertadores over the next couple of weeks. But
I like what you say. He's got a bit of nastiness about him, Blanco, doesn't he? He's got that little mischief look in his eye at times in games. He's the nicest guy off the pitch, shakes everybody's hand when he goes on and off the training pitch, but in that time in training, he's even going at his own players. He's a desperate guy to do well, which I think it reverberates and goes around the team.
So when I look at these two rosters, and this is a concern for Major League Soccer, I think, is there a little bit of a disappointment that there aren't more American players in these starting lineups? Because if I look through these lineups, I see Zarek Valentin, I see Chad Marshall, I see Christian Roldan, and I see nobody else after that.
Yeah, it's got to be a worry, doesn't it? With now the way that it is a global game, of course, and where teams can go in and instead of bringing through a number nine player, a striking player, a creative talent, you can go out and buy those players now. And I think the biggest worry, Glenn, when you look at the rookie of the year, I mean, for me, Corey Baird, it's just a clear front runner. But coming through that system, that pathway, the college pathway, not as much talent coming through. And, you know, and through the academies, what opportunities are being given. And I think that is a big systemic problem or issue that you need to be paying attention to, and not enough of the homegrowns or the talent here in the country in Canada. Need to put that in there as well, although Alphonso Davies is changing the way and the hopes of the Canadian national team. But it's a big question to look at. I mean, Obobese, Obviously, a lot of talk now with him and his emergence and national team. Will he get a chance at some point if he continues on this form? But it needs to have more talent, more of that homegrown talent here. And, you know, I think that's the big question.
Sometimes the homegrown, do you get the sense that sometimes the whole quote-unquote homegrown, which we love, but in some cases it seems very much a marketing tool to me, and I only see specific managers and clubs that truly are brave giving younger players an opportunity. And, you know, we would say Real Salt Lake is one of those. We would say the New York Red Bulls is one of those. But, you know, do we need a few braver managers here? We do know the pressures of keeping a job now, and that has certainly been upped very, very much in Major League Soccer now. It's not like the old days. There are certain clubs in this league that, you know, look at L.A. They just fired Pete Vahanis, who was, involved in the soccer operations side. I think it is a concern.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm all for playing the youngsters and giving the youngsters talent, but I'm also on the other side of, well, they have to be ready. They have to have earned it as well. You just don't play them for the sake of what their age is, that they have to have shown signs. And again, I use Alfonso Davies as an example, and Carl Robinson getting sacked, getting fired. You know, I think there's, of course, there was going to be two sides to the argument. One massive thing he did was how he managed Alfonso Davies and his minutes and his times as from a 15-year-old to now a 17-year-old. And at times when he was having great games last year, he'd pull them out of the lineup and then he would put him back in, you know, at another date. So he just managed that time. And you look what he did this year, Alfonso Davies, and absolutely breathtaking at times. And now everybody's not going to be that Alfonso Davies, a clear talent that right before your eyes that is growing with every single minute that you give. But I do think you need to, now and again, if a player is showing signs, to give them a few minutes here and there, see how they flourish. And I look at the Timbers. There's a player, Marvin Loria, who was playing for T2 this year, and he's marvelous. He was doing so well. And the U.S. Open Cup, the Timbers put him in, and he was playing in the sort of number 10 position. He was tremendous, Glenn. He was so much better, and he was good at T2 level. To see him with guys like Diego Chara around him, Renzo Zambrano was another player for T2 who played in that match. They were absolutely terrific. And so I think they showed enough at the T2 level for them to get a chance with the first team. And now you've put them with better quality players around them, and they just took off, and they looked like top players, like first team players. And so something to be said for giving youngsters a chance, but I do think they have to show signs that they can earn it, that they deserve it, and it's not just about their age and they get to come into the team because of their age.
So is that the system? Because look, we all know that culture, environment is what lifts people. It's not just coaching. It's the environment. It's the competition. And then it's the belief. And I think some of the clubs in MLS still don't have 100% self-belief. New York Red Bulls, when they trade Sasha Kljestan and they move on Dax McCarty and they hand the reins over to Tyler Adams and that kid responds, you know something good is going on there. Obviously, they've got a playing system that goes right through their youth setup, no question. They have the whole Red Bull umbrella with Leipzig and Salzburg. But I sometimes wonder if there's a real clear, precise plan with some of the clubs in MLS.
Yeah, I'd love to hear with your thoughts and the talk about there no longer being restrictions or the restrictions being altered for the areas to which you can sign homegrown players. And so, maybe Portland, if we're, you know, talking down that thread, they could argue at times, well, their catchment area isn't as kind as what it would be for a New York catchment area. But what are your thoughts as they tinker with the idea of maybe erasing the boundaries and having it open where you can pull in players from across the country?
Yeah, makes it a free, open system, I guess. It does put pressure on people to improve their own setups, I think, and I think that's good. And again, I think there's differing levels of seriousness about player development at the MLS level. I don't think there's any question about that. I'm not trying to finger anybody, but I think we see it. It's obvious. And look, if you're a part of this league now and you're not taking player development serious, then something wrong here, because this is one way to skin a cat. If you're going to be a club that doesn't want to spend as much and wants to be a bit more frugal, maybe then you do have to have a very good youth setup that has a plan and a vision, and it is to move people forward, and you do have to be brave in moving them forward, but you got to be good at what you do, and that's player development, and that's on and off the field. And then the second thing is, look, even some of the better teams in the league, Atlanta United, found Julian Gressel, a college player. Yeah, okay, I get it. He's a German, right? He's unbelievable, though. He's had a magical season. You still have to pick off a gem or two every once in a while in the college draft. I don't think there's any question. And that's another place where somebody can find a player that can be serviceable, could be somebody that's maybe a player that is versatile and can serve a couple of roles in a team. I mean, I think you have to look under every stone.
Yeah. I like what you say there with the with that development and with the training. I wonder with you, Glenn, how many managers, when you look back on your career, your established career, did you think, I loved playing for them. I love going to the training ground and getting on the training pitch and the different ideas they gave. They made me a better player, I think, is what every player wants to be able to say when they go into a club. And I look at Greg Berhalter, what he's done this year is absolutely fantastic. I think he should be considered for MLS Coach of the Year, just because what he's purely done to insulate the guys from everything going on externally. But he looks as though he maximizes the potential of the players, and Jossie Zardes is a great example. But how many managers for you did you feel as though, oh, I loved playing for them? And for me, for all the different managers, different places that I went and play across in Britain, here in North America, I could only say two managers where I thought, I couldn't wait to get on the training pitch to see what they would do, because they were going to make me as good a player as possible. For all the different managers, and I think that's a worry, that the development on the training ground is not as innovative, it's not as great.
Yeah, no question. I think inspirational leadership is vital. Two things happened to me in my career. I got roomed with, I traveled with, and played next to a hardened English veteran who was 31 and I was 22. And that guy, in a span of a year, made me a better player just with some subtle changes to games and just the know-how and experience he had made me a better player, hands down. The guy's name was Peter Carr. And then the other guy was Keith Weller, who was a Leicester City legend and played for England and, God rest his soul, passed away. But just, you know, when you got confidence from that guy, that was special as a manager. And as a young player. So those things certainly go a long way. All right, so what do you think goes down in Seattle? You feel like the Timbers are going to get through? I mean, I'm putting you on the spot here because you got to say they're going to go through, right?
We always talk freely. I feel like between you and I, and, you know, say it's going to be tough if I truly felt, and, you know, it's all for Seattle there. I really do, Glenn, think the way the Timbers have been playing, big difference since they've gone to this 4-2-3-1 formation. And if you look at it, the last four games that the manager has played what you call the quote-unquote first team, he rotated for the Vancouver game, they've won all four of those games, and they've looked like the stronger team. They look as though they're happy to be in this formation. And so because of that, I can't see them not coming away with a result, and a result will be good enough for them just because they've got the experience and the guys. Valeri, a lot of talk of whether he's lost a step here or there. I don't think he has. Diego Chara, I don't think he has. I think they're looking their best right now. They look fresh. They're comfortable in this formation. Ridgewell's been back in the team, and he's in a good run of form as well. So because of their experience, because of the confidence they have from results, I just can't see them not getting the results, and that's why it'll be good enough for them to go through.
That's Ross Smith, analyst, former professional player for the Portland Timbers. Ross, thank you so much, as always, for coming on the show.
Always great to chat, Glenn. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, the one and only Ross Smith, and we appreciate he comes on at the drop of a dime anytime, and we appreciate that. Moment here for our second hour presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. All you got to do is go to DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Now, it doesn't matter if you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction. You need a reputable law firm helping you who has experience in these situations. They will have you covered. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Let's take a Bud Light break.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.